This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Howdy, hour number two, Comedy Alive from our Quicken Loans studio. National mortgage lender, Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, and mortgage confidently. Here on this Wednesday, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, Series XM 206. This will give us a good laugh, I would imagine. Did you hear what Jerry Jones said about Jason Garrett, where if Garrett, and let me set it up for those who didn't. Basically, Jerry said, as I paraphrase, but the end result will not be compromised or diluted. He said that if Jason Garrett were on the open market, like all these other coaches, right? Mm-hmm. And the coach, Black Monday leading up a couple of weeks as all these teams filled their holes here at the head coaching spot, that Jason Garrett would have at least five offers to be the head coach of five of the eight teams. Come on.
I mean, he'd probably have a couple interviews. I don't think he'd have five offers.
I don't know if he'd have one offer.
Really?
I don't think so.
He's had too much success. He hasn't, let's think about his eight-year tenure there. He's only had one sub-500 season. Mm-hmm. Now, the playoff record leave something to be desired, even though he's, what, 2-3? 2-3 playoff record. Nine seasons.
That little detail.
Nine seasons as head coach. One was a miraculous loss. I mean, mm-hmm. you can name the loss.
I just thought it was interesting that he would say that.
Always,
a little hyperbole coming from Mr. Jones. Five of the eight teams offer him? No way. I know the Jets wouldn't have offered him. The Bengals wouldn't pay him.
Well, now Jerry Jones, he knows the league. So maybe he knows something we don't know.
I guess you can look at it like that. I don't know. D-Cell, how many offers you think of the eight teams? You don't have to identify the teams, but you think he'd have offers?
I don't think he'd have any offers.
Yeah, I don't think so either. I really don't. I think Jason Garrett's perfect for the Dallas Cowboys.
I think that's the answer.
Yeah, he's grown into the role, and he had to win that wild card game against Seattle. And we had Chris Carson on the show yesterday. And if that wouldn't have gone his way, maybe Jerry would have switched it up. Yep. But
you know,
five teams offered him contracts?
You know what I say, BT? Nobody loves you like your mama.
That's true. That is true.
And guess who drafted, or at least first acquired, Jason Garrett as a player?
Oh, that's right. That was Jerry.
Dallas Cowboys.
That's true. We're going to get with Steven Jackson, who actually got hung up in, I'll tell you, out of nowhere, there's actually a little traffic in New York today.
He's actually here right now, but he's finishing up a call. I saw him when he was coming up.
He's finishing up a phone call?
I don't know if he's on a tour, like doing some tour for something.
Get him. Who is he on the phone with?
I have no idea. D-Cell, go smack him around. And
him off the phone.
Yeah, that'll work out well.
Yeah, that'll work. He's a beast. But you know what I was thinking about? You played, obviously, first 8 years with the – 9 years with the Rams in St. Louis. Eight straight 1,000-yard seasons. Mm-hmm. People might forget that.
Right.
Cup of coffee with the Pats and took 2 years with the Falcons. You know, if you're a Rams fan – because we always talk about, like, what happens when the Raiders move to Las Vegas. If you're a Rams fan today and you're in St. Louis – how are you processing this entire season and what the next couple of weeks might be for you?
You're probably frustrated because this is your team.
Yep.
All it took was a change of coach, right, because they had Jeff Fisher.
Uh-huh.
And they held on to Jeff Fisher, I think, because they knew that they were going to move. And
stability.
He was stable. Mm-hmm. He had actually been through a move before.
That's right.
Because he was with
the Oilers.
The Oilers when they moved to Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
So there's as much as you don't think that there's a knowledge that's necessary to do that, there's a knowledge that's necessary to do that. So he had it. And so they kept him for a couple of extra years when they probably could have moved on from him. And now look at him. They get rid of him. The year later, Jared Goff is a pro bowler. Their offense is ridiculous. He wins coach of the year. Todd Gurley wins Offensive Player of the Year. Aaron Donald's Defensive Player of the Year.
That's tough. I mean, that's a tough one.
I mean, that's a hard one to swallow. And now they're in the NFC Championship.
But are you going to your local pub on Sunday in St. Louis? Mm. Are you having all your buddies over in your man cave? Are you really, like, genuinely enthusiastic about the possibility of your Rams
I think so.
Going to the Super Bowl?
So.
representing L.A.
Weren't they somewhere
else? That
would
kill me.
But they were somewhere else before, correct? I think the Rams were somewhere else before St. Louis. I can't remember.
The Cleveland Rams back in the day. I mean, a million years ago.
Yeah. So, I mean, they've been...
We didn't even talk about that. That doesn't, you know.
They jumped a little bit.
But the hard thing is, like, guys that they drafted are still on the roster. It's one thing if there's a complete disconnect with the roster. And it's, you know, 9, 10, 12. This guy looks like he could play now. He's in better shape than half the Rams running backs right now. What's up, brother? How are you? Let's get him set up, Santer. That's got to be really hard because at least if there's like a 10 or a 12-year gap and all the players are gone and like now the players in L.A. Were drafted when they were in L.A., there's no connection to St. Louis. Got to be a rough road. Steven Jackson is with us.
What's up?
Steven, look good, man. What's going
Thank
on,
Thank you, man. I'm nothing much. A lot is going on, but at the same time, not much. I think you understand that.
How long have you been without your dreads?
I was going to ask you that.
3 years now.
3 years?
3 years now.
You had them forever, dude.
15 years.
I mean, wow.
I had it for 15 years, and I was just ready to cut them, but I knew it would be a moment in my life where it presented itself. It would be the right moment.
Yeah.
But it took...
What was it? What was there a catalyst? Did something make it?
Well, I always wanted... Like, I saw myself as a football player as a character, right? Like, I played a game pretty violent. I played the game completely opposite the way I live my life, right? Yeah. So when I retired from the game, or so I thought I retired from the game, I cut my hair just outside the transition, showing everybody I'm a different guy. You know, yeah. I'm the same guy, but I'm different. And then I get the phone call from the New England Patriots. I'm like, oh, shoot. I don't think I'm going to look good in a uniform.
You didn't last too long, man. What, you didn't want to play for Belichick? You took away the joy?
No.
You were there for like two games. You didn't play.
I was there.
He was going to fit well there, too.
Yeah, I was there for four games. But, you know, LeGarrette Blunt. That was the whole thing, right?
Okay,
it was and then the next year going into the season, LeGarrette was going into his contract year, and I knew more than likely he was going to ball out. And that's all you need, you know. Yeah. He needed him to ball out for a year. And LeGarrette went on to Detroit, and they got the Super Bowl ring they needed, and I missed out.
Yeah, okay. Let me give him the proper intro, by the way, now that he's settled into his seat. Steven Jackson, former first-round pick back in 2004, Oregon State, first 9 years with the Rams, 8 straight 1,000-yard seasons.
You know,
a bruiser with speed, ton of touchdowns, and he's with us here on Tiki and Tierney. Good to have you in, man.
So
Thank
we were
you.
Just talking before you came in about St. Louis and what they must be feeling.
Yeah.
Do you get back there at all?
I still have my house there, actually.
So you're in and out of there.
Yeah.
So you can get a little bit of a pulse. What are they feeling right now? Because the Rams are good.
The Rams are real good. I will say, for the most part, it's a lot of hate. Mm. It is a lot of, I'm sure... In comparison, so I try to play the devil's advocate, right? I'm like, well, when the Rams came here in 95, they 3-4 years later won the Super Bowl.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it's true.
Right? Yeah, so yeah. I'm sure karma is a, you know, that term.
Yeah, yeah.
So with that being said, I think there is a lot of hate, but I think at the same time they understand that it's not the players that, you know, it's not their fault.
Yeah.
And I think they're supportive in that direction, but as far as ownership and front office,
oh, we don't care about ownership.
Yeah. They don't care.
Are they still rooting for the, forget ownership.
Yeah.
Are they still rooting for the Rams? Are they still, because a lot of those guys.
No, they're not. To be honest with you, a lot of them divorced them. They went to either Kansas City, Indianapolis.
Oh, that's worse.
Or Chicago. Kansas City makes sense because
you can't become a fan of a new team when you're an adult.
Yeah, but they're so good.
Unforgivable.
I'm just saying they're so good. Your team leaves, just jettisons, and the team that's, I mean, Kansas City's not far.
None.
And so, neither is Chicago, as you said.
And they become good right away, you jump on
the
bandwagon.
You got options. They're both pretty good. How good is Jared Goff? I don't know if we know, like, is it, I know a lot of it's McVay, and a lot of it's the weaponry. And when you can run, it opens up the pass, play action, blah, 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 all the football stuff. But in terms of his pure, natural, God-given talent, where is Jared Goff? Is he fully legit, or are you still
another. I'm a big believer in three seasons. You know, I want to see a guy do something and do it consistently for 3 years in a row at least. Then I'm saying, okay, that's talent. It is not the coaching staff. It's not the scheme. I think he does have the talent. I think he has the ability.
Yeah.
It was really tough. I was really hard on him the first year because Carson Wentz success early out the gate. I'm like, why we didn't, you know?
Yeah. Hit the wrong guy.
Right? But then coach gets there. And everything changes. And it not only changes for him, but it changed for Gurley. It changed for this whole new crop of young guys because when they were playing for Jeff Fisher, this team is not that
what
different.
What was it with Jeff Fisher? Because, I mean, the talent was there.
He never got out of the 70s.
Was he just not advancing.
I don't think game planning was further enough in advance to where the game is now. Right? He sat on a competition committee, so it's not that he doesn't understand the rules.
Yeah.
I think he's so loyal to the guys that have been with him for 20, 30 years. That
meaning the assistant coaches. And
yes,
the way
absolutely. Yeah, because he's a great guy. Love to play for him. Anybody that played for him, I'm sure you know. Yep. Guys love him. He takes care of guys.
Yep.
But he's loyal to a fault. And some of his coaching staff and some of the game planning and going into things were just a little archaic compared to where we are now.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
I think you're right.
Steven Jackson's with us in studio, of course, hanging out with the former running back on Tiki and Tierney.
Steven, let me ask you about a former teammate of yours who has gotten a lot of press over the last couple of years, Nick Foles.
Mm-hmm.
He left the Eagles, came to St. Louis.
I miss Nick, actually.
Oh, you missed him.
I was in Atlanta at the time.
Oh, you weren't there. So I can't even ask you this question because he went to St. Louis and was not good.
At all. He wasn't, though. I kept in touch with guys. Yeah, he wasn't good at all.
So how do you explain Nick Foles? Because we saw this rise, that first season under Chip Kelly. It was like, man, this guy from out of nowhere, is just he's the best quarterback we've ever seen. Mm. At least that was the narrative then. And then he goes and gets his chance to be the man, and he couldn't do it. He lost his job to Case Keenum, right? And then he comes back and wins it. He's a weird character in the history of the NFL.
He is. I don't know enough about the Philadelphia Eagles front office and staff.
Yeah.
But I'll have to assume they have a quarterback whisperer somewhere there, right? Because he performs for that organization. Yeah. And it wasn't just Kid Chip. It's now as well.
Yeah.
And I think that quarterback coach or whoever's there that's working with him understand his talents, how to put him in success, and allows him to thrive.
Yeah.
I do think it's really important for them to say he's on the trading block now. I get rid of him because it's just going to be too much of a headache going forward. But he is an anomaly in the NFL. I don't know what he's worth because I don't think he's worth the first round.
That's a weird thing to figure out.
So it's going to be really interesting to see what people are willing to give up to get his talent. And I think he's only a short-term solution as well.
Yeah, he's a couple years.
Yeah, we agree. We've been saying that, you can go after Flacco. You can go after Ryan Tannehill, maybe Jacoby Brissett. It's an interesting point in the league because you've got to manage the contract so efficiently, and if you overspend in the wrong direction at the wrong position, I mean, it handcuffs you really for a couple of years if you really swing and miss.
Truly,
I mean,
you are.
It gets sloppy.
I would like to see him. I am starting stuff. I would like to see him in Jacksonville.
Oh, interesting.
I think he has the ability to go in and be a sure plug. I think Coughlin being a GM can handle that kind of situation. The defense is set. I think you have a good, talented running back and offensive line that you solidify and keep him upright at least.
Yeah.
I think that'd be an interesting look for him. But me, long term, I don't see him nowhere.
Yeah.
Actually,
yeah, it's hard. Yeah. It's hard to say.
What an endorsement! Exact quote: long term, I don't see him anywhere.
Well, we're running backs; they treat us like that. So
exactly,
I mean,
which is what I want to get to. You're going to hang with us for another segment here. Yeah. All right, let's take a break.
Is that your wife, by the way?
No, that's my beautiful publicist.
Okay,
that's Zena. She brought
it. I can't say it. There you go. How are you? I want the lights reflected off the window. What do you want me to do, Teek? I can't see.
She's amazing.
Oh, my glasses on. She does look very happy.
No, but she's amazing.
All right, I'll take your word for it. I got to talk to her a little bit. How do I know?
Because she was here before.
I can't see. I couldn't see. See what I got to deal with every day, Steven? This guy.
He doesn't pay attention.
sometimes I don't. You're partially right about that. But we will get a timeout and a full segment with you about the matchups this weekend.
Now, I got to ask about running backs.
About Le'Veon Bell.
I got problems with running backs in this league.
Okay.
Well, we'll team up how on running backs are being treated.
How they get treated. Team up on that as well. And what you think Le'Veon Bell is actually worth. So we got a lot of things to kick the tires on. Steven Jackson sticking around another segment right here on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 1-855-212-4227, brought to you by GEICO. Hey, everybody, quick way to save money. Switch to GEICO. Homeowners, renters, or motorcycle insurance. Get it all at GEICO.com. Great conversation during the break. Let's just pick it back up and continue it on the air. Steven Jackson is with us in studio. And, Steven, you just said this right before we came on the air. Your last game. Yeah. Why don't you tell the story? The last game that Tiki played. Go ahead.
So Tiki and I were in his last Pro Bowl. Yep. It was my first Pro Bowl.
Which was my last game of my last time I put on NFL uniform.
I remember sitting next to him in the locker room. I was like, don't be too cool that night. don't be that guy. Uh-huh. And I looked at him. I was like, Tiki, man, you mind as we switch something? And he was like, yeah. He gave me the helmet. I wouldn't even think. I don't know. I don't know. I think maybe cleats or something I was asking for. He gave me the helmet. I was like, What?
Oh, that must have been sweet.
I couldn't believe it. Yeah.
Yeah. And you still have it. Hang it up. You still have it.
It's trendy to do that now, guys.
Yeah, it's trendy now.
Jerseys and all those things. But no. But back then, you didn't do it too much.
Well, it's one thing to do it at the Pro Bowl. I can't imagine you doing it after you play the Arizona Cardinals in a divisional game.
Yeah. No.
Knowing this guy the way he played, you weren't doing that nonsense back then.
No, I had a lot of respect for Adrian Wilson and Darnell Dockett, but no, I wasn't doing that.
Let me ask you about respect along those lines here. Teague had to step out for a second, and Steve and I were talking. Your dad's a Marine. He's got four Marines. He's got once a Marine, always a Marine. Like, my father-in-law's a Marine. So you have that mentality. You've got a conviction, a toughness. And I wonder that, not that you have to be a Marine to think this way, but I would think that this is non-negotiable with you. Antonio Brown.
Yes.
Would you want to play with him again? If you're on that Steelers team, the way you were raised, the way you think, what I just got during the 5 minutes during the break, I don't think that you would welcome him back in that locker room.
You know what? I played with a few Antonio Browns, right? You know,
who didn't show up in Week 17 in a must-win game?
Well, not that, right? Okay. Not that. But I've had a guy, he went missing on a Tuesday and didn't show up on a Friday. Like, what happened? Like, where you've been at all week, right? So I've had those instances. And he was not a star like Antonio Brown. But in those circumstances, I believe in direct confrontation. Like, I'm stepping to that person as the captain of the team, as the man to man. What's going on? Because whatever you're feeling with the front office or the coach, that has nothing to do with the other 52 guys, right? And if you don't want to play this game, that's fine. That's fine. But let's just finish it out strong. And I think him not showing up and doing these things, he's trying to force his way out. Those are contractual things that should be handled outside the field, outside the game.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And when you bring that into the locker room, now you're asking guys to pick sides.
Mm-hmm.
And guys are not going to pick sides when they're still trying to cash a check. And that's just the honest truth. Yeah, we're all in that locker room to make a lot of money.
Yeah, at the end of the day, it's your job.
It's a job.
Yes.
And that money that we make in that NFL, it's not that it makes us better than anybody else. It's that we all know how hard it was to get that first check.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So now you get to a point in your career where you feel that, hey, you know, maybe I think I deserve more. That's hard for a guy like me because I played on teams that went 1-14, 1-15, you know, and 2-14, 1-15, and I gave everything I had on that field. Mm-hmm. And it had nothing to do that I was so loyal to the St. Louis Rams as that it was those other 52 guys. I looked in the locker room, man, was like, look, man, we got a job to do. We're going to go out here and entertain, but while we're doing it, we're going to do the best we can.
Yeah. No, there's an availability that's necessary for stars, especially if you're the captain like you were, Steven. Now, Steven, I guess it kind of shines light on the next conversation about Le'Veon Bell. And it's less about Le'Veon Bell.
I love him, too, by the way.
Dude, we love him. We have him on every Super Bowl, as we did. I don't think we'll have him this year.
But
it's funny because last year—
He's got to make some money.
Last year, I was joking with him, like, you know, they're going to franchise you again. I was literally joking.
Yep.
And they franchised him, and we saw it happen. I agree with his stance, standing up for the position. Now, you, like me— were dual purpose. You're what all the guys are doing now, even though you're 60 pounds heavier than I was. It's unbelievable how big you are. But you were 90 receptions you had one season. You rushed for 1,000 yards consistently. The value of this position, our former position, has become enormous.
Right.
But it's not being treated that way. What should running backs be making these days? Because when I was playing, it was 7, 6, 7,
correct,
maybe. Now, it's probably about 6, 7 or 8 or so.
And that's a problem.
Except for the upper echelon guys like Le'Veon Bell and a couple others who skewed it, who were outliers.
David Johnson made some money.
But it's stolen money because it was a previous contract. What's the value of the position now?
So I got to plug myself really fast, right? So I did a thing. It was called Save the Running Back, right? Mm-hmm. And we were just poking fun at it. We were, like, putting up posters of, like, the whiteout. And then a typewriter and all these things, right? And it was like, then we put a post of like a running back and a silhouette of a guy running. It's like, yo, if we don't stop this, it's going to go extinct, right? So that being said, then you have Todd Gurley get drafted. You have Zeke Elliott come through the pipeline. You have all these Saquon
Barkley,
now.
Yeah.
So the value is starting to come back, but it's only coming back in the draft. Now we need to be reflecting in dollars.
Yes.
And outside of Adrian Peterson and Chris Johnson, They didn't move the point far from where you were saying those numbers.
Team,
right?
It was crazy.
And I have a lot of that going back to guys willing to share the ball. There's no way when I was in Atlanta, I was sharing the ball with three other guys. Mm. There's no way somebody could get a feel for the game, get hot, get the carries that you need and want to separate yourself statistically and put the team on your back. There's no way you could do that when you share the ball. Now when you're talking about doing it two ways, and you, now you have the new rules where you can't lower your shoulder and helmet, really. You can't do that. You have guys that the defense are, I feel like they're at a disadvantage, 51-49. They can't touch the receivers, right? Yeah. So now it's more incentive. And then you have position coaches and coordinators lobbying for the head coaching job. So a guy's not going to get...
And getting them, by the way.
And getting them, right?
Yeah. And not just lobbying.
Because they're tossing the rock.
Yeah, because a guy that's going to call 30 carries a game, right, 30 to 30 runs, he's not going to get a new job that's coming up next year, right?
Very true.
So all of this is slighted against the position. And guys are not standing up for themselves like Le'Veon Bell. And I don't blame Le'Veon Bell for taking a stance. I blame the other guys that has have the plateau that can say something now, right? You're not on a first contract. You're well established. You can say something.
Yeah.
Because you've been the guy that's been royally paid. A few of them still playing. Been royally paid at the levels that they're trying to get to. Le'Veon wants to get to the 14, 15 million mark. There's guys that are still playing that have that number, that have seen that number.
Yeah.
And they can speak up a little more.
Yeah. I think you're right. I mean, it's frustrating to watch because the position has become so valuable. If you don't have a dual-purpose elite running back, you don't win. No. You know what I mean?
The problem is you find all these guys now in the third and the fourth round.
Okay, make it short-term.
Kareem Hunt's gone. Damien Williams steps up. You don't miss a beat.
I think the biggest thing that Kirk Cousins did was create the idea. And I guarantee you, running backs would sign up for this.
Go ahead.
Give me 4 years. Make it guaranteed.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You can use me up, dude. Yep. Use me up. And if I still got it, I'll go get it somewhere else at the end. But give it to me. Guaranteed.
They're not. Hey, you mean after your rookie contract?
After your rookie contract. I mean, because most of these guys are.
Well, your rookie contracts are only be 3 years now.
Exactly.
We're not talking
about Saquon.
Yeah.
Like, we're not talking about Todd Gurley. We're not talking about the guys that get drafted in the first round. We're talking about the guys that are in the second round that turn out to be studs.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That are. David Johnson, right? Philip Lindsay is a prime example. Mm-hmm. There's a guy, they're coming, and they sneak in under the radar. You pay them what they're worth, guarantee it 4 years, and then if you don't like them after 4 years, get rid of them. Mm. But at least let them get paid. That's what Le'Veon Bell's trying to do.
I'm not trying to keep them.
It's just not happening.
I'm trying to keep the running back down. I got nothing against you guys.
It's you. You represent the owners.
You know what we got to do? We have to call an audible here. You want to hang around the rest of the hour?
Yes, let's do it.
We got to talk about the games coming up this weekend. We got to ask you something about some of the old players who are still, that you competed against, that are still out there. Want to get your thoughts on. We have more to talk about with Steven Jackson. So Steven's going to hang out for the next segment. We'll do that after Axe Update. Let's stay on time. Axe got it. Then we're back with Steven right here on Tiki and Tierney. Axe, take it away.
All right, having a good time with Steven Jackson, former running back. He's in studio. He's going to be here the rest of the hour. Tiki and Tierney, time for a playoff preview. Brought to you by the new Ford F-150, the official truck in the NFL. Does it just raise the bar? It is the bar. Tom Brady, yeah, he's back. NFL record 13th AFC title game. Pat's taking on the Chiefs in Arrowhead, and it's going to be a little chilly. Could get an Arctic blast on its way to Kansas City for Sunday. Now, the cold weather impacts the passing game, and it might. It'll be like single digits, they say. Sony Michel and Damien Williams as running backs could obviously decide who represents the AFC in Super Bowl 53 in Atlanta. This NFL preview report brought to you by the new Ford F-150, the official truck of the NFL. Doesn't just raise the bar. It is the bar. All right, so 38 minutes past the hour, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, and Sirius XM 206. And we're having a blast with former running back, and he's a good guy. And I told him during the break, Steven Jackson, I said, man, you came across as like such a mean medicine figure on TV. He's the exact opposite.
What did you play at?
240.
Yeah.
What do you know? 40.
Probably about 242, 240, a little over.
Dude, you let yourself go. I mean,
I know.
Former athletes everywhere.
Don't point it out.
I lost 30 pounds in the last year. No, probably 4 years or so. I've lost a ton of weight because I started running.
Yeah. Steven, this guy looks like a kicker in 1971.
Yeah, shut it up.
Now they're all pretty jacked.
I look like my brother. Are your knees good? Are you good, man. You got out healthy?
I got out healthy. Yeah. That was a big question for myself. I mean, going into year 12, was I going to continue to go, right? Mm-hmm. 13 and more. And I know we're going to talk about this a little later, but I didn't know what the toll of the game was going to take on me. And I was like, look, I'm looking at myself. I'm pretty good. I'm pretty happy where I'm at. So I'm like, yeah, I just stepped away.
Yeah. Those last years. You were in New England your last year?
That last year.
What was it like playing for Coach Belichick?
I loved it.
Yeah,
I loved it. But me and him had an affinity for each other from my rookie year.
Because of his style? Because of
like how he presents.
Yeah, he reminds me. My dad has a little bit more character, right? A little bit more personality.
Yeah, yeah.
But straightforward, man. Like, he just, like, I remember my first meeting with him, I was like, Coach, you know I can catch out the backfield. He's like, but yeah, but we don't need you to do that. Like, wow. Yeah, he's like, but yeah, okay, we just need you to do that. So I'm like, okay, I respect that. I love that.
Yeah,
about
90 catches one year, man.
See, that's interesting, because he could have very easily, just to placate you, we're going to throw out a couple of concepts, work in, and then 5 games in, you don't get the ball in the passing game, and you might be unhappy. But he laid it out right away, and you knew what to expect.
Knew what to expect.
Wow,
what about Brady? How's Brady as the leader of that team? It's been a long time since he's been
there. So I went into our locker room a little nervous about that. Like, how would I get along with Brady, especially coming in late in December, right? Great guy, man. A guy that I tell everybody he'll have a beer with you. I remember I had my daughter a couple years ago. He sent me a congratulations text. Very heartwarming. Very cool guy. Chill, man. He's not what you think. You know, we sometimes as fans will look at him like he has the perfect life. This, you know, everything's pretty much laid out for him.
Yeah.
Nobody does.
Yeah. But nobody does, right? And he's down to earth. And I love him. I wish I would have had more time with him. But going back to me and Belichick and my, you know, I love the guy. We go back to 2004, and I thought he was going to draft me. But that year, the week before the draft, he traded for Corey Dillon.
That's right.
And I understand. And at the time, I hated it. But later on,
so you
12,
thought you were getting drafted by?
I thought I was getting drafted by New England.
Man.
I did. And they went in and won the Super Bowl 04 too. but that being said, we always kept in touch, like Pro Bowls, you know, things around the NFL.
Yeah,
we crossed paths, and he's like, man, you know, one day maybe. And he would just throw that out there, and I never believed him.
Yeah,
and you know, it happened.
Yeah, that's cool.
Let me ask you this: When you back to your former team, the Rams, for a sec, when you watch Sean McVay, because we always get on the air and obviously, you know, Tiki's version of football, Trump's mind a million times a million. He played, I didn't. But I'm curious, like, for if you guys are seeing the same thing when you watch McVay, because he's communicated this, what makes his football mind so special? What do you see? What do you see with McVay?
I see he's a matchup guy. He understands concepts really well. And he also, a lot of times, he'll go down to the opposite end of the field to see the defensive point of view. And he's already in the ear telling him what to look for, what coverage to expect. And I saw an interview that he was very, his mind is beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
He remembers stuff from like 4 or 5 years ago.
That we know. Yeah, it's crazy.
So when you have that kind of mind, and you understand concepts and formations only, you can only do so much out of this formation.
Uh-huh.
I think it's almost like a cheat code.
Yeah. I agree with him, because it's almost like when you talk about matchups, it's like how do I get my best player, whoever that may be, in this certain situation? How do I get him on their least best player? You know what I mean?
Be sure.
They're all good. But
why wouldn't every coach, Teak? Why wouldn't
every
coach think
Because it's hard to think about it. It's really hard to anticipate what coverage is coming. So on third down, they have a 80% tendency of running whatever.
Mm-hmm.
How do I play chess with this guy?
Yeah, it's one thing to have the numbers spit back, but how do you quickly adjust?
Exactly, and make the right play call.
I think it's a generational thing.
I think you're right.
I think a lot of guys come from whatever tree they come from, they're very proud of it. Like, we did this in 1980, and this is what we're going to do. I'm like, okay. But I think a lot of guys get so proudful about that. Like, we West Coast, this is what Jerry Rice did, and this is what you're going to do. And this is what this person did, and this is what you're going to do. It's like, but no, it doesn't have to be that way. We can kind of put a little tweak on it.
Yeah.
And I think he understands that tweak.
Yeah.
He teaches guys with Madden, bro.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, he does.
He pulls
it up on a big screen, and he goes, if you have this formation, what would you do here? And he learns how to communicate with these young guys.
That's funny, because that's how these guys are – that's how they're communicating with each other.
Yeah. That's how you get their attention.
Yeah. No, seriously.
You said you played at 240-ish, right?
I did.
I mean, which obviously is big for running back. Give me one or two linebackers – Not a D lineman, but a linebacker, because most guys you could truck, you can run right over. Who are one or two guys that when you pop them, they didn't necessarily go backwards? Not many.
Well, Ray Lewis is one.
Yeah.
Well,
right.
Yeah, Ray, that's why he's Ray.
My favorite person to match up against was Patrick Willis. I will always say
Pete
that.
Pete Willis was sick.
We were that to me. That is my Eddie George, Ray Lewis situation.
Yeah.
Right.
That
to me is Patrick
Division.
Willis and I. But
that's Jeremiah Trotter.
Jeremiah Trotter for you, yeah.
Yep.
I can see that.
Yep.
I can see that. But then to answer your question, though, Ray Lewis and Brian Urlacher, those two guys just didn't move.
Mm-hmm.
But they were big. They were bigger than me, and they play with a downhill aggression as well as I.
Yeah. Let's move on to these weekend's games. The Kansas City Chiefs are interesting, obviously playing the New England Patriots. Both these games are rematches. But the Chiefs, and let me back up for a second. The Kareem Hunt situation, when that happened and they decided to do the morally right thing and just cut him, we thought it would have an impact. It didn't at all.
I totally did. I thought so for sure.
Yeah.
I go, here goes New England going to be the number one seed. And, you know, they're probably skipped, you know, into the playoffs and being one and done. But, no, they look good, and Patrick Mahomes is the truth.
Yeah. Did they do the right thing with Kareem Hunt?
Ultimately, they did. They should have did it from the get-go, though.
Yeah.
If you knew that was the circumstance.
And what Steven's talking about, they knew in February.
February, right?
But so, they hadn't seen the footage.
They hadn't seen the footage, but they
But
knew.
You could go get the
no,
footage.
No, I hear you. Well, if you pay for it, you can.
Yeah.
Because they tried, at least what they communicated to us. They tried to get the
footage.
This is
what I would say. I don't know what they tried to do, right?
I don't know, right? I mean, yeah.
But going through the process of just going to the combine and knowing that they interview people from my past as like kindergarten teachers and stuff, they can get any information they choose to get, right? So I won't let them hide behind that. I would say this. If that's the stance we're taking, be consistent in that stance. Mm-hmm. But don't do it morally for the sake of your fan base in the NFL once you get you caught.
Yeah.
If your hand's in a cookie jar, your hand's in a cookie jar.
Yeah.
And that's just how I feel about that.
Yeah.
I don't disagree.
Yeah.
It's just, boy, it's easy. You're 1,000% right. I want to make sure there's no ambiguity here. You're 1,000% right. But it's easy to sit in a studio a couple of months after the fact and say that. I'm not saying you wouldn't have said it or you didn't say it back then. But imagine running a team and, you know, you get clouded by the thoughts of a Lombardi trophy.
Well, no, they got clouded by the fact that he told them that it wasn't as egregious as it actually was.
No, then they got to his point. They got to follow up.
So they took his word for it. It wasn't right. Are you okay with him coming back into the league?
I am.
And because the Bears are maybe talking to him?
I'm a big proponent of that.
Yeah.
I think – the second chance. I think honestly, I think young black men need to see that. I think they need to see that there you have a chance to redeem yourself, and you could do it on a stage that you could show the world I've changed.
Yeah.
I could rehabilitate.
Yeah.
And I think that has to happen, not only for him, but I think that needs to happen for the country. Because I think a lot of times we throw people in cages and we think all of they're gone, that problem is done. That problem doesn't go away if we never address it and never talk about it. And the only way you get beyond these circumstances is if you're talking about it, especially with these young athletes that a lot of times don't have positive role models in their lives.
Great point.
I want to stick with that for a second here because, you know, and I said before that, you know, the Steven Jackson on the field was a viciously aggressive and intense star. The gentleman off the field is compassionate, friendly, funny, smart. How do these players, how are they able to... Or can you speak to the challenge, maybe more directly, of being able to turn off that aggression switch and then conforming with the rest of mainstream society? You've got to be so violent and so tough to survive or Sunday to survive on Sunday, and then when you get thrust back in the middle of society, I don't think it's that easy. You have to do it, but it can't be easy.
You have to, but to your point, it's not easy at all. And I think that's when it comes to points like guys like Tiki, right? We were talking about his career path, early in his career. He did something that nobody was doing. He went and did daytime television.
Yeah.
And when I had that example, and I had other examples of saying, I am more than a football player, you got to start looking at yourself outside of that. And once you do that, you realize that the world is bigger. Life is bigger than it's just his game. And if we're lucky, we'll get 4 years or more, right?
Yeah.
So you have to constantly remind yourself that this is just a job. This is not who I am.
Boy, it's hard to do that when you're 24, right?
Oh, really hard. I live in Las Vegas, Nevada, bro. It's very hard.
Oh, yeah.
It's very hard.
That's true, though, because I remember Alvina called me, actually, and said, I need you to talk to Steven. And I'm like, Steven, Jack, dude's a man. Why do I need – he doesn't need my advice. But it was about – post-career, because Steven was thinking about this before. And I remember the advice I told him. I said, start hanging out with the rich kids, not the cool kids, right?
That's what you told him?
Of course.
Nice.
Because when you're not cool anymore, they don't want to hang out with you. But if you make friends in the right circles, you can do all kinds of amazing
That's
things.
That's great advice.
It was.
When you hear those words, was it tough to apply it?
No, it wasn't. It wasn't tough to apply. It was a thing that, in your head, at least at that age, you think the cool kids or your homeboys, right? You think, I'm going to turn my back on them, I'm going to leave them. And it's not necessarily. I think a great example is LeBron James. You could bring them along with you as long as they want to.
Yeah.
Right? They got to have the want.
Yep.
And when Tiki shared that with me, it made me think about that. It's not that I'm selling out. It's the fact that I shouldn't want more for you than you want for yourself. Hmm. And once I accepted that for myself and I say, I got to change, you got to change, bro. If not, I got
to
go.
What was your dad? Talking to Steven Jackson, who's with us here on Tiki and Tierney, of course, in studio. Your dad obviously mentioned military background a couple times. Was he really tough? Was he, like, what was it like? What was it like for you growing up? You had direction,
I would say this, right? My dad was so tough on me in a manner of a tough critic, right? Like, getting to the NFL and being criticized in the public eye wasn't easy for me at that point. But I would say my dad was really, he was a tough critic about, like, fumbles. Mm-hmm. The small details of the game.
Going back to when you were 8, 9, 10.
Oh, absolutely. You can run 50 yards, Steven, and you fumble the ball. What does that do for you or your team, right? Uh-huh. It was those kind of reminders. So, Mike, my last 4 years in the NFL, I never lost a fumble. And that's a stat that I brag about to him. Right?
Yeah.
It's like, yo, like, I finally got the thing you've been trying to harp on for so long.
Wow.
So having a dad that tough on me, I didn't realize I was really talented outside of the city until I started getting colleges coming in to recruit me.
Because he kept you normal. Yeah.
He kept me so normal. And it's probably why I didn't pound my chest in my NFL career, is because my dad always had a thumb on me about, you're not bigger than the team, you know? And that was just my upbringing. And to see somebody that's more of a diva, I sometimes wish I had that in me, because I'm like, I left a lot of money on the field.
like the self-promotion. You got kids now. You have three.
I have three and one
on the way.
Oh, right. Congratulations.
Thank you.
The oldest one is how old?
12.
12, and he's a boy, right?
He's a boy, yeah.
12-year-old. Is he playing football yet?
No, he's actually an artist.
Really?
He's an unbelievable artist, too.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
That's great.
That's awesome. What lessons are you giving him, you know, and how do you deliver them? Because he's got to know who you are.
So he's in St. Louis, Missouri, actually.
So he knows. He remembers you when you were playing.
He remembers very well. He's in St. Louis, so he gets reminders, too, from friends and family, right? I talked to him a lot about being aware of your surroundings, because just because you're the kid that has all the fresh gear and, you know, you come in and everybody knows your name and all this, doesn't mean everybody likes you and everybody doesn't love you and, you know, and things won't be given to you. And the things that your dad have, I had to work for, and you will too, you know. And I always constantly just remind him those things. And I like the fact that he's walking in his own path. He's an artist. And I'm telling him, to be a great artist, you have to be in tune with yourself. So I always remind him to know who you are, right? You know, walk with pride and don't be ashamed of who you are. But at the same time, you're not better than anybody.
Yeah, that's right. Does that come from you, the art side?
It does. I was an architect major, so I love art. Yeah,
no, I love you being a father, a displaced father, because I'm the same way. I'm divorced. My kids live up in Greenwich. So I see them, but not off. They're not in my home.
Yes.
Right? So, but it doesn't mean you can't be a great father. I think that's a lesson. A lot of men in this
man
country.
I got a lot of flying miles, man. I make sure that I'm there for almost every moment that
that's
I could
great
be for.
That's great.
And I think it's important for them to see that the stigma out there about displaced fathers, I like that term, displaced fathers, is that when you leave the house, you know, like, your feelings, like, you left all that too. And it's like, no, just because you know, the mother and I didn't get along and we wasn't good for each other as partners, we could still be a great tag team partnership as parents.
You're right.
And
we're still a family.
We're still a family.
You're right.
And we get along so much better now. But I'm sure a lot of that has to do with the stress of the NFL, right? I'm not so short-tempered about, I have to perform and, you know, things like that. So I've changed, too, as a man. Mm-hmm. And I think all of that has happened, and I think it's just worked out for the best.
Steven Jackson, give it up. I got to give this guy an ovation here. Give it up.
Thank you, brother.
Nice and done, man. 20 seconds before we go. Who's going to win the Super Bowl? Who you got? Or who do you have in the Super Bowl? Start with that.
I actually have New England Rams.
All right.
I think it's 2001.
And who wins?
I think it's 2001. And I think this time, I think the Rams finally get their rightfully deserving win.
Yeah, that's right. You go back to that. That's who beat the Rams when they were still the greatest show on turf.
I remember where I was when I was working in Detroit. I was watching that game at Champs. I was doing a remote. Listen, man, really, really good to have you in. And we had you in here. Well, you were a little late. We won't hold it against you. It wasn't a full hour. So we had a chance
to blame Malvina. I saw her downstairs.
I'm not blaming anything on her. I love her. She get the camera on that young lady there. She gave my ego, which is in check. I mean, she pumped up my ego like nobody. I mean,
she's amazing.
This girl is tremendous back there.
I
love her. She's awesome. But we had you in for about 50 minutes, and little football, little life. Really awesome spot, man. I'm happy you came in.
Appreciate you, Steve.
We wouldn't have kept you if we weren't enjoying, if, you know, it would have been have a segment, then we'll let you bounce. You earned that third spot, man. I want to shake your hand. Great job.
Thank you, man. I just want y'all to know I'm in Atlanta, too, so y'all just let me know.
Oh, yeah.
I'm
going
to go to the Gold Club with you?
We're hitting you up when we come down. 2 weeks? 3 weeks?
Lap dances on Steve. I'm just kidding. Hey, third hour coming up. Cam Newton, by the way. Did you see this?
I did see this.
Cam Newton might not play football this season.
That's what his owner's saying.
That's what we got to talk about. We'll get into it. Tiki and Tierney, third hour. Jackson, that was great. Steven Jackson, awesome. Quick break. More coming up in a sec. CBS Sports Radio.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up. And the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app. We'll be right back.